Start your day off on the right foot with great local programming on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE.
Welcome to the morning show and a new week of shows here and guests in our studios at WRCO Radio. This time, it's time for our monthly visit with River Valley District Administrator Lauren Glassbrenner. Good morning, Lauren. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great.
Awesome.
I am amazed at the weather. I am amazed that we have the weather that we had this weekend. I was able to hit a hike, and it was kind of muddy even in the woods on Sunday when I was on my hike. Talked to my dad on the way over today, and they're able to use a boat launch down on the Mississippi River even to get their boats in one more time. So beautiful weather like this gets people out and running and kind of part of the communities again. It's really nice to see it this time of year.
Did you have some slippery roads in your district this morning?
You know, nobody really called it in. My slippery road was, I have to take Bear Valley Road, and then I take B&G to get out of the hills and up by Bear Valley to get down to district office. And there was a couple slippery spots, that's for sure. So I definitely slowed down myself. But we didn't hear any problems with buses. Thank goodness, buses are big and heavy. So they didn't have any problems. But I did hear from you, as well as other radio stations, saying, you know, be a little extra cautious on those back roads if any of that condensation freezes on those roads.
Well, let's transition then. I know one of the things you wanted to talk about was policy on some of those snow days. And so far, we've not had to test the policy, have we?
No, we have not had to test that policy on snow days, but it's coming. And so for the whole community out there, as well as parents, it's really good for you to know that for a district administrator to get into those big calls on weather, there's a definite process that we go through. And so decisions to delay or close happen really early in the morning. But the first thing that we have to keep aware of is that we're tracking minutes at a district office. We have to have a certain number of minutes into our school year, or else the Department of Public Instruction gets really upset with us. So where they used to say it had to be 180 school days, those are now converted in the new laws to minutes. And so we have to have a certain number of minutes that we're watching. So for us to take a snow day, if we don't take it as a virtual snow day where kids are still working, a true snow day means I can't count those minutes. And so we're really trying to work hard to make sure that we understand in our calendar how many minutes we are allowed to kind of allocate for kind of those great days off, where we really hope that kids are out in the snow, they're having fun outside, they're enjoying nature and taking a step away from the responsibilities of being at school. So that's the first thing. Just know that those minutes are there. The second thing is snow days happen. Really, we're starting to get stuff from the National Weather Service on the day before. So let's say on Thursday this week, again, entirely fictional, it's not happening, but on Thursday this week, they expect an entire big snow front to come across that could give us a big dumping of 12 inches. That means on Wednesday night, I'm already going through a bunch of kind of online meetings with the National Weather Service so I can predict exactly how many inches and when it's going to hit the area and what's going to happen. So that's my first step, is to really think about the night before and then get up really early in the morning. Those conversations also are happening with my administrative team and my busing company. For me, it's Lamers. For other districts, it's for the first school or co-busing. But those districts are having those big conversations with those people because we want to make a decision before any driver would have to get up and get out and get on those roads too. So then after we go through that, then we check in with our local radars and then we start to make phone calls and I start to really investigate. So I'm up at 4:30 and I'm calling contacts in the morning over by Sauk for me. I'm calling people in Richland Center. I'm calling people up by Dodgeville. I'm calling people down by Riverdale. And we're starting those not only with superintendents, but other folks, maybe employees of ours, that can look out their window and say, oh yeah, looking really bad. Or yeah, I drove the highway and it was really tough. So those kind of things start to happen. And then by 5 o'clock, I'm trying to make a decision. And I know that sounds really early, but we do try to really make a decision by 5 o'clock because there's a bunch of steps that I have to then get ready to make sure it's posted out there by 5:30. So 5 o'clock decision gets me to a point of either delay or cancel. And that's where I jump in with the teachers, the support staff, the custodial staff, the kitchen staff, the busing staff. And then we inform WKOW Channel 27. We do WISC Channel 3. We have to contact WMTV Channel 15 as well as then we call Philney. We call WRCO, we call WRDB, and then we call WDMP, the dump. So we're really jumping into radio stations and TV stations because many parents and grandparents, as they get up, turn on local media. And we really appreciate your relationship with us in that sense that we still have that. At the same time, then we have emails that go out to what we call our Sky Alert message system, but it goes out to every parent in an email, a text, and a phone call format so that all parents are getting this notification. And in the event that we then decide what to do with that day later, we've made sure that everybody knows, from media to companies to employees and all our parents. And then we jump through that day. That doesn't mean that the district administrator still doesn't hop in his Ford F-150 and get to the office, because we still have stuff to do. So we still have staff that hit the campus, so we still try to get there. So just so y'all know, I'm still working. Other people are still working, but we're trying to keep those kids and teachers as safe as possible because we don't want them to have dangerous road conditions or not be safe. So that's kind of the process.
You talked about dealing with your weather sources the day before. We're seeing more schools make a decision by the end of the previous day than we used to, aren't we?
We are, and I think that's due to a couple factors, Phil. I think one of those factors is that the National Weather Service can predict more correctly. I guess it'd be the West. They can predict, and correct are kind of a little different, but they're giving us better information. And so we're able to take that historical information and try to make those decisions. I'm just going to give you my personality on this one. I'm still scared of that. I'm still leery of making a decision and saying, yep, school's off for River Valley next Thursday, because I've been told on Wednesday. And then it shifts to the north. I get 1 inch of snow and parents are just irate because their kids sitting at home. They're sitting at home watching their kids and there's no snow. If it's going to be a snow day, I want it to truly be a good snow day. I want it to be deep enough that a kid can go grab a sled or hop in a snowmobile and really have a fun day in that part of nature that we really appreciate here in Wisconsin.
What time does the first bus roll into the River Valley District? Do you know?
Yeah, it's right around 5:30.
It is.
So we start people warming up buses right around 5:30. So that's why I need to make those decisions really quickly. So that's why I try to have that decision made by 5 o'clock so that I can get the communications done by 5:30. And get those emails and alerts out to the employees. Yeah.
Your policy in the district, a lot of times, if it does improve, let's say it's cleaned up by 9 or 10 o'clock, you still do sometimes have practices and extracurriculars.
Correct, we do. So if it does get cleaned up, if there was an activity after school, our policy lists that, hey, you should stay at home and you get the whole day. But once in a while, you're right, Phil, that let's say it's cleaned up by noon, we can get kids safely to the high school, then we will call a practice or such if we need to, for sure.
Yeah. Or early outs, you don't.
Yes, no, early. Right. Else you don't. You just, if somebody gets sent home early, we just presume that the rest of the day is done and all cancellations happen to all practices and events. Whether it's a school board event, community event, the buildings are closed. Plain and simple. So even a rec league can't come in. It's the end of the school day, so the buildings are closed because I don't have anybody to staff it at that point because I want them to get home and be safe too.
For early outs, it used to be you had to feed them lunch for that to count as an official day. Is that still the case, Lauren?
It is not. It really isn't about feeding them lunch, though I think that's really important that if we can get them some food, because for some kids, that's the meal that they're going to get for the day. So again, yes, we would try to do that if we could, but it's really not about the minutes being counted that way. Really, it's we can count every minute they're in the door now equals the minutes. It used to be that getting them lunch equaled the day when it had to be 180 days on the DPI websites and such, but now it's more minutes. So it takes away that lunch kind of qualifier in there.
What does the Old Farmer's Almanac say for weather?
Have you read weather that? Predictions this year, the Old Farmer's Almanac says it's going to be cold, wet, and white.
Oh.
I was like, cold, wet, and white. So that could be good, right? It could be cold and dry, or it could be wet and warm, right? So it could come in the form of rain, which we've seen recently where it rains a little bit. But that white one is a little bit of a concern because that's when it's cold and wet. And so if it gets white out there, we just really want to be careful. You guys know around Richland, around Ithaca, Weston, River Valley, Riverdale, we've got some pretty steep hills out here in the Driftless that we have to be careful of. So we don't want a bus to go off. We want to be really safe and cautious. And sometimes parents are really worried about that. Well, it wasn't anything up at Dodgeville. There wasn't any snow up by Dodgeville, Lauren. Well, that doesn't mean there wasn't some snow up by Ithaca, right? And we've got land in the River Valley School District north of Bear Valley up on Ithaca.
Right.
So if up by Lime Ridge it's really snowy, I have to take that into consideration. Just I have to take the, you know, the River Valley down by Plain, or I mean down by Arena, if it's flat and it's okay there, doesn't mean it's okay everywhere. So with a big district like River Valley, you make a decision based on the whole, not based on the little pockets of information I receive.
Indeed. Well, yeah. No offense. Hopefully we're not talking to you a lot this year.
No offense. I'd gladly not have any snow days, but I think the families and the kids for sure, as soon as it was snowing the other day, they were running down the hallway looking for me. Mr. G, is it going to be a snow day? Nope, we're not quite ready for a snow day yet. So it's coming. We know there'll be one or two. And sometimes they do them for extreme cold, right? Sometimes we do it for extreme ice. I'd really rather have just snow. I think extreme cold freezes pipes, and that worries me for families. Extreme cold makes me worry for families, but a good old-fashioned deep snow day, I think, is a fun thing for a district to still enjoy.
Last time you were here, we talked about the River Valley musical, Mean Girls, and you brought along some very talented cast members. I was very impressed by them, but they're putting that on. It's coming up this weekend.
It is coming up this weekend, so we will have the musical Mean Girls, which was written by Tina Fey, and she's famous from being a comedian. Mean Girls is a great show. It really talks. There's some great phrases in there that they're really kind of adding to it. There's a definite like list for who's in the in crowd and who's in the out crowd in the Mean Girls thing. But they also had that famous quote of we wear pink on Wednesdays. So it's that idea that there's a special group that has kind of more power at a high school that's within the basic plot of Mean Girls, and they all wear pink on Wednesdays. So this Wednesday, a lot of us will be wearing pink to honor the idea of Mean Girls coming our way. So Mean Girls will be produced and directed. Again, a huge shout out to Becky Schinker, our high school musical director and choir teacher. A huge shout out to Sarah Young, who's our artistic director. A huge shout out to Michael Stanek, who's our choreographer. That will be at our other venue. I guess it's not our venue, but our borrowed venue up at APT at Tower, and we'll be up there on Friday, Saturday night, and then on Sunday as well. So we'll have productions throughout this entire upcoming weekend.
Good luck to the cast and crew.
Yeah.
I understand it's a hot ticket to get, too.
It is a hot ticket to get. They sell out really quickly, which is a good thing. And also a bad thing, right? We're really excited that they sell out right away, but the venue that we have really only has about 250 seats, which makes it an incredibly intimate show. It's really fun to be a part of that. So the APT venue that we use at the American Players Theater is about a 250-seat house, and it's a really fun place to be. It's kind of in the round, if you will. It's a C shape, so part of the stage is right in the crowd, and that's really fun to be a part of. It's got professional lighting, professional seating, professional sound system. So all the kids are involved in all of those aspects of the show. So that's a really fun part. But then it's only 250 seats, and we probably could sell 500 seats for every show. But it sells out quickly, which is a good problem to have. But I've also heard from community members that it's a hard problem, right? You want to get people in to see your shows, Lauren, but there's no tickets left. You're right. There's no tickets left because they're so good. And it's also because we don't have a huge venue to put things in. So we just do our best. We wish the kids the best of luck, and we go on and do the best shows possible. And so we're excited to see Mean Girls. I'll be there Friday night for the opening show. And Cindy and I are really going to enjoy the time. It's going to be a great thing, a great show, and a great time for our community to once again celebrate the arts.
I'm guessing there are some families that might have an extra ticket once in a while. That happens.
They do. When people buy tickets, I think what happens is a lot of people buy blocks of tickets, right? They know it's going to be a hot commodity, so they jump in and buy a lot of tickets. So there's a lot of communication on Facebook, on social media between parents like, hey, I need a show ticket for Saturday or I need one on Sunday. Does anybody have an extra? They do a really good job of communicating between the parents and between the venue to make sure that we're getting everybody that really wants to be there a ticket. But that's hard. That's hard sometimes. And again, it's a great problem to have, to be so good that everybody wants to come see you. So I'm proud of all those kids, proud of the directors and the great things that they do.
Winter sports now underway. And you've got good participation, it looks like. Lauren?
We do. We've got great things happening. So our hockey co-op was out this weekend. They did a great job. I believe they threw that puck around, as they say, and they won 5-0. We had girls basketball JV tournament this weekend. Girls basketball is up and running with a new kind of energy in them. Boys basketball has been out, and they've been doing a great job remaining competitive in our area. We've got girls wrestling and boys wrestling. So we have a new sport at the high school. It's a division of wrestling, but we have a girls team and a boys team. And so that new girls team, I believe we're at Reedsburg, if I'm remembering right, at a tournament. So there's now girls wrestling tournaments separate from boys wrestling tournaments. And it used to be kind of like we had a few girls at the end of a boys tournament. Nope. Now it's an entire venue. So that's cool. Girls and boys wrestling are out there. Just a note on the boys wrestling. One of our state wrestlers from last year, he's a senior this year, Wyatt Knockreiner, had his 100th career victory this weekend. So
all right.
Congratulations to the Knockreiner family. There's a lot of them out there, but a huge shout out to Wyatt for doing such a great job. Again, we've got musical FFA. FFA just had a poinsettia and greenery sale, so that's been busy for them. They're getting ready to make sure everybody's adorned beautifully for the holidays. And then we've got our gymnastics team. They co-op with Barneveld. So lots of kids out there being involved in lots of things, which makes me a really happy guy.
So you co-op with Barneveld for gymnastics, sock for hockey?
Sock for hockey. Yep. Yep. And I think that's a really interesting thing. We co-op with Lodi for swimming in the fall. When you have a co-op, it's usually a district that's got interest, but maybe not the facility or the numbers to make a whole team. And I think in the rural areas, that's a really fun thing to keep those activities embedded in the kids' lives. We try to co-op with neighbors to make sure that we can feel the team. You've seen that done with some football teams now where they're doing that, or they go from an 8-man team to co-op to an 8-man team to get enough of the numbers there. And I think that's a really good thing. As numbers in population in Wisconsin go down, numbers of children go down. So thus, to keep some of those exciting activities in those kids' lives, we need to co-op and kind of come together, collaborate to make sure those activities are still there for the kids. And we're excited about that. And those co-ops are things that we really appreciate in the rural areas. It's not so much a big deal in the Madison area or the Wausau, Milwaukee area, but it is certainly big for us in rural areas to make sure that the things are still happening for the kids.
I've seen numbers from some of the big schools, where they've had trouble fielding, girls basketball teams at more than one level, which is just unbelievable to me. If you have 2,000 students, you can't find 15 girls to play basketball, but that's kind of the case right now.
It is the case, and I think another piece that's hitting that is so many kids are picking a sport rather than three sports. We're seeing some individuals, and I'll just pick on one sport. Maybe I am a young lady and I'm really involved in volleyball, and I absolutely adore volleyball. So I'm going to summer camps in volleyball. I'm jumping into my local team in the fall for volleyball. But then in winter, I might choose to be on a traveling team for volleyball. And because that's so busy, so dedicated, I'm not in girls basketball then. And then maybe in the spring, I might hit up softball, but maybe not. Maybe I'm going to extend my season and just do weightlifting and get my body conditioned for summer rec volleyball again. So we're seeing a lot of kids focus in on a sport rather than multiple sports. I guess I could give an opinion that I think kids should be diverse. I think they should be involved in lots of different things, not only student leadership and activities, but also diverse athletics, because I think that rounds out their experience. Very few kids are going to become professionals within their athletic sport. And I'd love for them to be a part of multiple teams, to grow and learn with multiple teammates. But that's not my decision to make for every kid. And I think some of that where we see teams that are having a hard time fielding enough kids are also in a place where kids are choosing to do one thing rather than to diversify and be in many things.
At River Valley, you seem to have lots of kids that are involved in many things, student leadership, and we'll see them on the football field or the basketball court or the wrestling mat.
I think that's one of the great things about the Valley. I'm really proud of the way that our activities and athletics are continually being stretched. They're continually being pushed to kids with the belief system and the philosophy that the more you do, the better you are, right? In that sense of, again, my research, if you're involved in a sport, you do better at school. Ultimately, the kids are there for the academics. But if I can get them to be inspired in the academics based on being in an activity or an athletic event, that's a good thing. So we have an incredible array of programs that are organized and coordinated by Jamie Hegland, our athletic activity director. He does an incredible job of organizing not only these events, but the venue then, making sure that there's officials for that venue, making sure there's transportation for that venue. So some people will say, you know, how is that so busy? How is that such a job? Well, when you have these eight things that I just led off, and they're doing three or four events every week, and those events require transportation, officials, practice times, all the equipment, all the evaluation that goes with it, it's a lot of work. So for us to have all these great things for kids, we need to invest time and money into those too. So I think it's what keeps a school district running sometimes. I tease that my kids wouldn't have come to school if there wouldn't have been band, jazz band, pep band, all those things. They were bandos, as they say. But they maybe wouldn't have done as well in geometry if I hadn't said, hey, you got to get your geometry grade up, or I'm not going to let you sit in pep band and have fun for 3 hours on Thursday night. And I think those things motivate children sometimes, where we have to keep them involved in those activities to also keep them inspired in their academics.
Hey, you talk about it's like a well-oiled machine or a jigsaw puzzle, but I've been there when gymnastics is going on at the same time as basketball, mm-hmm. and maybe there's a middle school game going on at River Valley Middle School, and you know, there's cars everywhere, and just coordinating all the officials and everything, just amazing.
It is amazing. And there's a lot of facility coordination with that. When you can think of, if you've got girls basketball happening away, but you've got boys basketball happening at home, but boys wrestling happening in a practice, but a gymnastics team that is going to have an event at your school, you've got to coordinate all of that. And you're right, there could be an extra 400 cars on our campus starting at 3:30 so that everything's prepped for the 5 o'clock, you know, whistle to be blown. So there's a lot that goes on into that. Again, of course, academics are first. Everybody knows that academics are first, but in the kids' eyes, sometimes that's not always the case. They need to be motivated by the activities and the athletics that keep them inspired in their academics. So we're excited for that. But again, those four A's in any district, the arts, the activities, the athletics, and the academics really pull everybody together. And I would even say in River Valley, we add a fifth one on with agriculture.
Sure.
Because there's so many kids involved still in local agriculture. So we're about a 5A system, and we work really heavily on keeping those things moving and motivated as we go through a school year.
Talking about Jamie Hegland, your activities director, but I know I read recently he and Joey Martin, who's the AD at Dodgeville, they've been working on looking at combining the Southwest Conference with the SWAL for more crossover games. Have you heard much about that, Lauren?
Yeah, those crossover games I think are really interesting for us to kind of think about and take up to WIAA. One of the things I like about WIAA is they coordinate our state level things, right? They're a very big organization, but they also are willing to listen to the folks out here in the field that are doing that hard work. And so when Jamie gets together with his colleagues to say, hey, I don't want to travel from Spring Green to Milton on a Friday night to play a team just to be competitive, when I could travel from Spring Green to Lancaster, or I could travel over to Riverdale. And so they're constantly looking at, are we part of the SWC? Are we part of the SWAL? Are we part of all these, the Badger 10 or whatever they have? We really want to kind of keep the kids local so that they're part of teams and competition locally. And so I think they're always looking at different ways with the WIAA to combine ideas and efforts to keep everybody more centrally located. It's hard. I know it's hard work, but at least the WIAA is willing to listen. And if we have good leadership like Jamie and his colleagues around the area doing the hard work of trying to coordinate it, I'm proud that WIAA keeps their eyes open to it and their ears open to it so that they don't really get everybody grumpy based on the big state vision of what should be.
Well, it cuts down on transportation too if you have more localized non-conference games too, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Transportation is a big part of this. Now, you guys have heard me talk about how it's hard to employ a staff anymore, right? We don't have the people applying to be teachers and to be professionals in our buildings. But you think about CoBus and Lamers, they're very difficult to find enough bus drivers. So anybody that's sitting out there that would love to be a bus driver, I encourage you to get out there, take that quick lesson, take that licensing. It's really not as hard as you think. And to get out there and be involved, you can get paid to work from 2:30 to 8 o'clock and just be a bus driver and take a local team somewhere local. So again, that transportation does end up being a really big problem if we can't find that. So again, I talked about those high school sports. Don't forget, I also have middle schoolers that are on a basketball team in girls and boys, middle school wrestling teams, middle schoolers involved in all sorts of different things too. So that takes a bus themselves too. So if I have a bus going to Dodgeville, bus going to Riverdale, bus going over to Middleton Cross Plains, another one going up to Reedsburg, and I still have to have all of that happen at the same time as we've got 21 bus routes taking kids home at 3:30, that's a lot. So again, it's exciting, but Jamie's got to work. Our athletic director has got to work with our bus company daily and predict kind of weather and conditions and drivers to make sure that we're working hard there. So a huge shout out to anybody that's running a bus company or working as a bus driver. You are an incredible asset to our area, and we thank you for all the hard work and time you put in as well.
Lauren Glassbrenner, River Valley District Administrator, our guest on The Morning Show. We'll have more coming up. Our friend Lauren Glassbrenner is our guest on The Morning Show today from WRCO Radio as we look at some things going on in the River Valley School District. Well, you're already looking ahead to the 25-26 calendar year, I think, aren't you?
We sure are. So we're looking at the 25-26 school calendar. And I mentioned earlier when we were talking about snow days that there's a required number of minutes that we have to put in. So no matter what calendar we put out there, I still have to meet the number of minutes within the calendar year for the Department of Public Instruction. So, yep, we're working ahead on that. But one of the things that's been really popular for school districts in the last 5 to 10 years is something called early release schedules, really. And it's a purposeful early release where the kids go home a little early. We get to count the minutes up until they walk out the door. So that's the minutes piece. But then the teachers are still under contract for the next hour and a half. And it allows us to really push a district ahead with the curriculum and academics within a district to have them work on data. Teachers are busy people, and I can't expect them to want to stay from 4 till 6 in the evening and just have meetings. It's also, I would be obligated to pay them. So what I'm looking at is a way for us to keep our staff together and to give them more opportunities for collaboration. So we have a new calendar that's coming up in the 25-26 school year that we've informed all parents about. But every Wednesday, very similar to many districts around us, again, like many around us, every Wednesday, kids will be released right around 2 o'clock. And so the bus routes will run at 2 o'clock and kids will go home, but the teachers will be there for another hour and a half at least to have good conversations about what kids are learning. How do we know if they've learned it? What do we do if they haven't learned it and we have to repeat it? And how to really look at assessments and data and practices to make sure that the teachers are getting time to collaborate. We call those PLCs, or professional learning communities.
You're going to be instituting those for the first time then next year, it sounds like.
Correct. We've been using professional learning communities, but we've been doing it during release days, or we've been doing it during teachers' prep times, and that's been really difficult. You can imagine if you've got 5 people in an English department at a high school, they don't have the same time off during the day, and there's no time for them to get together to take a look at maybe River Valley High School's English ELA scores and really think about how to push kids ahead or how to respond to intervention that we may need for kids that are not achieving what we need them to achieve. So it's really about, if you think of every classroom as a company, it's about getting those CEOs or those corporate executive officers, our teachers, together for some really good collaborative time 1 week, 1 day a week in the afternoon. So it'll be Wednesdays at 2 o'clock. Yeah. And it really does allow us to push things ahead so that kids can continue to be challenged and work and proceed as they should.
You have a lot of school to work kids in your district too, don't you?
We do have a lot of school to work. So a lot of that's called youth apprenticeship, and that's coordinated by the state. That's by the Department of Work Development. I think it's the DWD, it's called, and they kind of have school to work guidelines that they give school districts. In our area, CESA 3, which is our cooperative education system out of Fenimore, they have a regional office down there. They help us coordinate youth apprenticeship experiences. So that gives a kid a chance to maybe look into the field of carpentry or look into the field of restaurant kind of management or even nursing. So your junior or senior year, if you have really started to decide what road you're going to go down for a career, we can get kids prepped for that. And then we can get them out into a youth apprenticeship where maybe they get certified as a CNA as a junior in high school, and they're working in a local hospital or nursing home or care facility in order to get some real on-hand job experience going in the afternoon, maybe after they've gone through the morning classes at their high school schedule. And those count for credit, but they also get the kid paid. And it also enlivens, really enlivens that idea of getting them apprenticeships. I guess I don't know what else to call it, but hands on deck with a career so that our businesses feel like we've still got kids feeding into their systems, but we also then can make a good decision as they do post-secondary. They might want to go into the nursing field at a four-year school. They might want to go to Southwest Tech for a nursing field. They might want to go into the service and be a part of the armed forces and be a nurse, or they might just want to stick in that job and go right into the job workforce. But those years in youth apprenticeship really help us push them forward in a directed way that helps them keep focused. So that's another part of the calendar. It's really a big part of it.
Stay tuned for the second half of today's morning show program on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE. Coming up, though, in just a moment, we'll have a look at today's news.
Here's a hint. At U.S. Cellular, you can get four free phones and four lines for $90 a month, so you can give your family the gift of connection.
Okay, but what about the gift of good-smelling soap?
They buy their own soap. They want four free phones.
What if I gave them kitchen tools?
Four free phones.
Well, how about a cozy sweater?
Four free phones.
Maybe I'll get...
Four free phones.
Four free phones.
That's how you take a hint. Get four free phones and four lines for $90 a month. U.S. Cellular. Built for us. Terms apply. Visit uscellular.com for details.
Good morning. It is 6:30. Time now for a news update sponsored by Court and Main Furniture and Mattress, helping you create the home you can't wait to come home to. The forecast for today calls for a high of 30, tonight a low of 19, and Wednesday 25, with a little bit of light dusting, possibly to a half inch of snow tomorrow. Right now in Richland Center, 25, and that is the overnight low.
Fall in love with shopping local at A-Plus Furniture and Mattress Outlet. This season in embrace the cozy and shop where it matters most, right here in your community. From bedroom sets to lift chairs, we have everything you need to transform your home for the fall. Plus, you're supporting a local business when you choose us. Come in today and experience personalized service, unbeatable value, and that perfect piece you've been searching for. 172 South Church Street, downtown Richland Center. Or call 475-6090. A-Plus Furniture and Mattress Outlet, where comfort meets community.
I'm Phil Nee with News Today. Richland County Sheriff Clay Porter reports that the Richland County Sheriff's Office was assigned two cyber tips as an affiliated member of the Wisconsin Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force for reported possession of child pornography. Monday morning at approximately 8:30, deputies completed a search warrant as a result of this investigation. Deputies took into custody Talon G. Miller, 19, from Lone Rock, for three counts of possession of child pornography and one count of felony bail jumping. At the time of this arrest, Miller was currently serving a diversion agreement for similar acts that generated a cyber tip in May of 2023. The Richland County Sheriff's Office was assisted in this investigation by Wisconsin ICAC Task Force, Wisconsin Department of Criminal Investigation, Digital Evidence Unit, and the Richland Center Police Department. Sunday afternoon at approximately 3:39, the Richland Center Fire Department was paged to 27986 County DD for the report of a barn fire. Fire personnel en route requested mutual aid for tenders and manpower. On arrival, fire personnel found a fully involved barn fire. All livestock were able to get out of the structure and the barn was a total loss. Firefighters were on the scene around 5 hours. No injuries reported. Assisting at the scene were the Richland County Sheriff's Department, Richland EMS, Richland Electric Cooperative, Yuba, and Casanova Fire Departments assisted on the scene. The Muscadet and Blue River Fire Departments also assisted. Richland School District Administrator Steve Board reported to the Board of Education at its meeting last night that since the third Friday count, open enrollment out numbers have dropped to 248. In addition, open enrolled in students have increased by one from 96 to 97. Currently, the student count is 1,147, which means that the open enrollment out number represents 21.7% of students in the district. This indicates that the district retained 78.3% of its students. The district looks to reach its goal of 80% by September of 2025. Board also updated the board that the Building and Grounds Committee had awarded 14 bids for various scopes of work concerning the Capitol referendum. Each of the awarded bids were to the lowest bidder for each scope of work and was endorsed by Nexus as a reputable company. The total of all approved bids was $5.2 million. While this amount is nearly $438,000 over budget, the savings of $981,630 from the high school roof project will offset this overage. He also went over a proposed parking lot revision at the primary school to increase safety and efficiency by having segregated locations for the dropping off of children, an option to park and escort children to a designated location, as well as loading and unloading the buses. The board also approved the Southwest Conference plans to submit the SWC-SWAL plan to the WIAA portal that would apply to all sports except football. A teen suspected of killing Lily Peters in Chippewa Falls is scheduled to enter a plea today. The 16-year-old, known so far by the initials of CPB, is scheduled for arraignment at 11:30 this morning for one count of intentional homicide and sexual assault against a child under the age of 13. The boy is accused of killing Peters as he was escorting her home from her aunt's house, then hiding her body along a river. Officers say he has admitted to the crime, saying he wanted to know what it would feel like to take a life, adding that he tried to hide her body better after he learned police were looking for her. The case is being tried in adult court. Despite his legal team's efforts to move the case to the juvenile system, meaning his name will eventually be released, it's unclear if that will happen during today's hearing. Wisconsin schools are receiving more federal aid for mental health support. The Department of Public Instruction announced yesterday the state will get $10 million over the next 5 years to improve counseling services for students. State Superintendent Dr. Jill Underley says that money will go towards hiring and retaining counselors and social workers. DPI was one of just 22 agencies in the country to get funding under the new round of grants. AT&T is phasing out landlines in Wisconsin. Over the next 5 years, the company will move all landlines to newer digital services. Specifically, landlines mean phones that still connect directly by wire to the phone network, not ones that run off wireless connections or from home internet routers. Company officials say it's too expensive to maintain the copper network, and only 5% of homes and businesses in the country still use landlines. Environmental advocates are critical of utilities' decisions to delay retirement of a coal-fired power plant. In a statement, Sierra Club Wisconsin Senior Campaign Coordinator Cassie Steiner expressed outrage that Alliant Energy, Madison Gas and Electric, and Wisconsin Public Service have once again kicked the can on shutting down the Columbia Energy Center located near Portage in Columbia County. She also expressed exasperation that the utilities are considering converting the plant to run on natural gas. After previously delaying its closure plan for this year, the utilities last week announced that retirement of the coal plant is being pushed back from 2026 to 2029. The utilities say doing so provides the companies time to explore converting one of the energy center's units to natural gas before 2029.
Wilkinson Auctions huge equipment consignment auction Thursday, December 12th at the Muscadet Auction Yard. This equipment auction features two farm lines and tons of quality equipment, including tractors, planting and tillage equipment, trucks, trailers, ATVs, skid loaders, dozers, and cattle equipment. This is a live auction with online bidding available. The December equipment consignment auction Thursday, December 12th at the Muscadet Auction Yard. More info at wilkinsonauctions.com.
Today, more clouds than sunshine. It will be cooler than yesterday, a high of 30. Tonight, partly to mostly cloudy and brisk with flurries possible, a low of 19. Wednesday, 25, scattered snow showers likely by late morning, anywhere from a dusting to a half inch possible. And then cold lows, 2 degrees below zero Wednesday night with wind chills around 15. Thursday's high, just 10. And then Friday, 25, the forecast has changed quite a bit from yesterday. It looks like snow likely by Friday evening. Meteorologist Tony Schumacher saying we are in for a possibility of 3 to 5 inches of accumulation Friday night into late Friday evening, making travel difficult. Right now in Richland Center, following the earlier reading of 28 that followed yesterday's high of 48 degrees, it is 25 in Richland Center.
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year from all of us here at Bob's Auto Body Collision Specialists in Boscobel.
Men are so hard to shop for. Ladies, do you get stuck not knowing what to get your guy? He already has tools, clothes, sporting goods, and electronics. Hey, this is Amanda at JJ Welsh Jewelers, and I bet I know something your guy doesn't have much of. Jewelry, or maybe even a nice watch. We've recently put together some really neat jewelry that Wisconsin guys will actually wear. From amazing Glock watches to masculine chains, crosses, bracelets, and even really cool dog tags that can be engraved. And so many more amazing ideas for that hard-to-buy-for guy for Christmas. Shop JJ Welsh Jewelers, downtown Richland Center.
Sports Time is sponsored by Simon's Recreation Complex, Richland Center's public indoor swimming pool and fitness center, and sponsored by the Homesteader Store, Southern Wisconsin's tractor experts. We'll look back at last night's high school events, a look ahead at the schedule this evening, and the Badger men's basketball team prepares for another Big Ten challenge.
LS Tractors are a great tractor at a great price. Hi, I'm Rick from the Homesteader Store. The fastest growing tractor line in Wisconsin is LS Tractor, part of the LG group of companies. These high quality four-wheel drive diesel tractors are one of the best values in compact tractors. They have silky smooth hydrostatic transmissions. They offer great financing. You can go to our website where you can watch a short video where I go through the different sizes of LS tractors to fit your needs. Learn about the full line of LS tractors at Southern Wisconsin Tractor Experts, the Homesteader Store.
I'm Phil Nee with sports. The Richland Center boys basketball team won a road game at Wisconsin Heights last night. The Hornets improved to 2-2 on the season with a 50-42 win. Trailing 12-11 in the first half, the visitors took the lead of 29-22 at intermission and built it to 17 before the Vanguards whittled the deficit to 8 at the final horn. Liam Fingerson led the Hornets with 16. Wes Bosworth added 11. Jaden Shep scored 10, including both of the team's three-pointers. Wisconsin Heights was led in scoring by Mike Fensale with 17, including 2 three-pointers. The Vanguard's JV1 team beat the Hornets 44-40 in the early game. In other boys basketball, River Valley with a road victory at Broadhead, 63-54. And a win for Lafarge over Waniwak Center, 64-45. Girls basketball, Fenimore with a win, 44-39 over Highland. Mount Horeb, 62, Dodgeville, 42. Kickapoo, 53-26 over Waniwak Center. Albany Monticello, 78-27 over Iowa Grant. And a win for Westfield over Toma, 67-28. Tonight's schedule, Riverdale plays at Richland Center in area girls basketball for the Hornets and coach Jeremy Cooey. They're coming back after playing in Milwaukee at Fiserv Forum.
It was an amazing time for the girls just to be able to get there, go in behind the seats and see the back hallways and the locker rooms, and more importantly, just to get on the court and be able to play a game of basketball there at Fiserv.
For the Chieftains, they're off to a good start of 4-1. Here is first-year head coach Larry Swigum.
I think all four of our wins, we were trailing with about 5 minutes left in the game. And we were able to make enough plays and do some quality situational basketball and pull those out. So that's been a big thing for us. Started 3-0 and kind of got us going, and now we're 1-1 in conference. Having lost to Darlington, we were winning by 6 at half. And then kind of fell apart there, and then we had a really nice night against Fenimore on Friday evening.
Riverdale at Richland Center girls basketball can be heard tonight on WRCO-FM 100.9. River Valley plays at Sauk Prairie in girls basketball. Nacita at Ithaca. Seneca at Boscobel. North Crawford at Hillsboro as well. In boys basketball, Ithaca at North Crawford. For an early season showdown in the Ridge and Valley, Kickapoo is at Weston. DeSoto at Seneca. Lafarge at Wazika Steuben. Prairie du Chien travels to Viroqua. Hillsboro at New Lisbon. Royal at Cashton. Nacita at Bangor and Brookwood at Waniwak Center. Cuba City's at Riverdale, Mauston at River Valley, Boscobel at Mineral Point, Southwestern at Iowa Grant, and Darlington at Fenimore, Potosi at Highland in boys basketball. Wrestling action tonight, River Valley is on the road. They will be taking on Poinette and Waterloo at Poinette High School. And tonight, it is wrestling action going on at Kickapoo High School for Richland Center. Kickapoo and Viroqua will be there along with the Hornets. Over the weekend at the Royal Tournament, Ethan Haiti wound up a champion. Also second place finish for Ethan Bindle. Caden Stibbe and Ethan Bodendine were both fourth place finishers. For the girls, Kaylee Spildy took a first on Saturday and Madeline Muller was second. Well, the Wisconsin men's basketball team tries to even its Big Ten conference record on the road at Illinois tonight. The Badgers will also be trying to end a two-game losing streak. The Illini have a 6-2 record after losing to Northwestern. It's also for the Badgers. They're getting set to try and bounce back after two difficult losses. Tonight's tip-off is set for 8 p.m., 7 o'clock pregame on WRCE FM 107.7 and AM 1450. The Bucks are seeded number one after advancing to the NBA Eastern Conference knockout round. They host Orlando tonight at Fiserv Forum. The Green Bay Packers made a couple of practice squad moves on Monday, including re-signing a lineman who played for them in 2023 and who started for the Patriots recently. The Packers have re-signed guard Michael Jordan to their practice squad as well. A wild one last night of Monday Night Football. Cincinnati held on for a 27-20 win. Joe Burrow threw a tie-breaking 40-yard touchdown pass, and then after a botched block punt, gave the ball back to Cincinnati in the final 2 minutes, and the Bengals beat the Cowboys 27-20. That's an update on sports for a Tuesday morning. I'm Phil Nee. You're only as old as you feel. May be a cliche, but it holds some truth. Exercising can boost your energy, improve your mood, and lower your stress. At Simon's Recreation Complex, they have many older adult members who prove every day that you are never too old to exercise. Rest of the school year, does it start the same time after Labor Day then?
It does. It does. It really does start. Our first school days will be, I believe, Labor Day's on the 1st. So our first day with students in the 25-26 school year will be September 2nd. And that's when we just get everybody up and running. So September 2nd, 2025, it'll be an exciting time. And then we'll take that first week to get through stuff. And then we'll jump into early release Wednesdays starting next year. And we're excited about the opportunities as staff to really have time to collaborate. When parents have asked, hey, why are you doing this? Like, come on, like that's going to be hard on us. I just need them to know it's not without great purpose that we do it. It's not without us really thinking hard about it. We're going to be working in teams and continuing to collaborate, but we're collaborating about your kid. We're looking at your kid's data. We're looking at teaching practices to really inspire your kid. So it's really intentful to make sure that we're doing the best for you and your student and making sure that kids are all achieving. So it's really important to us, and it's important to you too. It may be a little inconvenient sometimes in your schedules, but it's what's really something that's best practice that we're seeing in education. And it's not something that River Valley just started. If you're on the radio, you know that Richland Center is already doing this, right? If you're out there, you're listening, Fenimore, Ithaca, Mineral Point, Pecatonica, Platteville, Potosi, Cuba, Boscobel, they all have early release schedules too. It's not like it's just centralized around our district. It's something that really allows that the professional education staff get time to push kids ahead and really keep classrooms full of exciting but also rigorous content.
The last time you were here, Lauren, you alluded to the fact that you'd be looking at a referendum probably in the spring. Can you give us any update on that?
The update on River Valley's referendum would be that there is one coming. It will be April 1st, I believe, April Fool's Day, if that's not interesting. But yeah, April 1st will be the election date in our spring. Many districts that have gone to referendum will either go in the fall or the spring. This will be an operational referendum. Again, this is just to pay for operations. That's why it's called operational. It's to keep the programming and the courses that we have continuing. It's really about keeping everything flowing. And that's what I would say most rural school districts have had to go to keep things up and running. You saw in Richland, they had an operational this last year. All the districts around us are running on operational. So in the southwestern portion of Wisconsin, where you have lots of land but fewer children, it's a way to keep the same programming moving ahead. I could go into a lot of state funding stuff, and I actually am going to bring Brian Cry to the radio station with me coming up this spring so he can kind of give you the best financial background about the politics of school funding. But just off the top of my head, I'll just share there will be an operational referendum in River Valley in April. And it's important for us. We will make sure that the families understand what programming that will be there for their kids and what will continue. It's also important to note that we continue to right size as our student population numbers go down. So again, if somebody's saying, well, if you'd cut more, yes, if you just cut more, you wouldn't need this. There's no way we could cut enough to get what we need. And that's why districts come out to operational referendum. A teacher's worth, by the time you take their salary and you put everything together in their benefits, it's right around $80,000. Most districts are asking for millions of dollars to keep the schools funded. So it's not about a couple positions, though we will right size and make sure we are cutting positions as we can. It's about keeping programming and things running for rural education. And I think it's a worthy cause. It's definitely something that I believe in, and I wouldn't be out here in rural America if I didn't believe in it. So it's just part of what we do. And it's again, something that River Valley has had success with before with operational referenda. And we continue to make sure we're informing our communities as it comes closer to spring.
Were there some things, some data that you looked at from this past referendum, this past spring? Have you learned anything since that time?
Yeah. I mean, we had a capital referendum this last spring where we were really trying to kind of redo some things for safety and security, some ADA compliance things, to redo some bathrooms, to get some plumbing updated and all those. Those were capital, meaning that's for remodeling. That's for buildings. What we have found, I guess, and maybe this is a blessing in disguise, is if a district passes capital, the next time they go to operational, there's a very slim chance that it will pass. So I tried to tell everybody when I was advertising about the capital, hey, yes, we're going to have this capital referendum, but don't forget, I'm going to be coming back in the spring of 25, and we're going to have operational referenda. And they said, well, no, the capital should take care of it all, right? And I said, no. The capital is to replace a roof, to fix windows, to get new doors, to make sure that those things are truly architectural. The operational is to pay for the electricity, the water, the teachers, all the stuff that goes inside those wonderful buildings. And I guess the trends that we see across the state of Wisconsin is if your community supports capital, then they're tapped. They're kind of tapped out and they don't have the money for operational. So maybe a blessing in disguise, people saved their dollars so that they could help support us in an operational format. And so I guess we always learn every time we get any information back from an operational or a capital referendum on what our community thinks of our school district. Lots of people gave me feedback in surveys saying, you do good work. Thank you so much. But I just can't afford it at this time because I know that you're going to be coming back and needing more operational funding in the future. So I think we're listening to that. We'll make sure that we educate our community on what we have slimmed down on and how we will use the funding if it's approved in April.
There wasn't a consideration of capital and operation together for this one?
Nope. Even though I think we had a really good response on our capital, I think what I heard more than anything is live within your means, right? So if we get an operational to pass, within that is going to be some of our maintenance budget. If they, I think our communities are feeling, if you need to update, do it within the maintenance costs that you have within your budget, rather than having another referendum. So we'll have to do it from within, I guess is what I would say. You will not see me here advertising a capital referendum for River Valley anytime soon.
Okay. Well, and the school board meets this week, right? So they'll probably be figuring out a little bit more about that.
Yeah, they will. There's a lot of things that go into consideration where we're thinking about this operational referendum for River Valley, the number of buildings that we have open, the number of things that we offer. So we will continue to cut. One of the things that will be discussed is the future of the satellite school, I call it, up in Plain, Wisconsin. We still have a little school open in another community, and there's a lot of funding that goes to the transportation and the upkeep of that building, and we're looking at ways to possibly consolidate even further. And I think that will make our community happy. They'll know that we're trying to really get down to what works for River Valley on one campus. So we're working really hard on the ideas of that consolidation, and I think you'll hear more about that after the meeting on Thursday, for sure. It's gone through one committee. It'll go to, but we have a budget employee relations committee meeting tonight at River Valley, so we'll talk about it again there, and then we'll be making some decisions even this coming Thursday about some of those satellite spaces, but also where the funding is kind of going to be going. And I would say the next few months, within December, January, February, you're going to be hearing a lot about finances, because you have to set kind of what amount of money is going to be on any kind of ballot for April before January. So you're going to hear me come back in December and January with some numbers, because by law we have to. So we'll be back. We'll come in December and we'll make sure that we update the entire region on what we need.
Not scare tactics. We've heard from some districts where they were turned down, and they really now are taking hard looks at trying to get, you know, having to cut things.
Yeah, basically. We do. And I get it. I mean, I live in the same land. I don't have, you know, just a pocket full of money spilling out as I walk everywhere I go. So I get it. And we're trying to listen to our constituents. We're trying to listen to our taxpayers. I want every person that's retired, every person that's got kids, and everybody that lives in our communities to be reaching out to the district and asking the questions so that they stay informed. You're going to hear a lot of people say that their tax bills went up around the area. And I guess I implore them. I really want them to be encouraged to look at your tax bill. Your municipalities get reevaluated for property value. That happened a lot in the River Valley area. Our tax portion, the River Valley School District's tax portion of the bill, didn't go up. But many people got reassessed. So their tax bill might go up, but it's not my part from the school district. So I just really want people to look at their bills really carefully. When you get that tax bill, if you need help reading it, walk right into the district office and we'll help you get through that, because there's a lot of things that happen on that bill that happen in your municipality that didn't come from the district. And I hope everybody continues to analyze that so they don't think property taxes are solely the responsibility of your school district, whether it's Riverdale, Richland Center, Ithaca, Weston, me, wherever it is. Take a look at your tax bill. Sometimes it might be from your district, but oftentimes it's coming from a reevaluation that is happening in your municipality.
I believe you and I are both in Buena Vista, right?
We are,
and
yes.
We saw a little bit of an increase.
We did. Yeah. We did see that. Buena Vista is one of the areas that went up the most. In our district area, there were some that actually went down in the River Valley School District based on evaluation. So you have to really read into that. And again, just give us a call. We'll help you walk through any of those questions that you have.
The school will be letting out in a couple of weeks already for Christmas break. Oh, I can't believe that.
It's so exciting. The only thing I can hope for, and I know there are people that will kind of roll their eyes at me, but I just want a white Christmas. I truly believe in a white Christmas. I love what it looks like. So I guess that's just the old nostalgic side of me that really would like to have a white Christmas, so that as we travel back and forth between our aunts and uncles and grandmas and grandpas and go to friends' homes, that we see those beautiful snowflakes fall. So we're excited about a white Christmas. But between then and the next time I visit, the other thing that's going to hit us hard, I think more than anything, is kids are starting to get sick.
Yes.
And so I want everybody to be well as we head into Christmas too. So as we head into Christmas and we think about all the great things that happen in a holiday break, I want everybody to know that if your kid is sick, keep them at home, or, you know, don't send them, because then it just becomes something that really could spread to a lot of children and kind of really hurt a lot of people. So I guess it's best to stay home. If your temperature is higher than 100, you got a persistent cough, you know, the fun stuff about throwing up or diarrhea, crusty eyes, all that stuff, talk to your doctor, stay at home for that stuff. But if it's just a runny nose or they're running a low grade temp and it's under a 100, we're more than happy to take them, right? That's not the point. But if they are truly ill, don't turn it into a super spreader, because your beautiful school districts end up being big bacteria cesspools a little bit. And so we want to keep everybody protected, from our staff to our students to our families, because we want everybody to enjoy the holidays and we don't want everybody sick. So yes, the school holiday is coming up. We have two more weeks. Most districts around us will be done on the 20th, which is a Friday. So that Friday, many people are planning to kind of have their final school days. Then 21, 22 are Saturday, Sunday. 23rd will be the Monday. Christmas is on Wednesday. So there will be a lot of people traveling that next week. And we just love for them to be happy and healthy and into the new year with a smile on their face.
Most definitely.
Yeah.
I think you've had your winter concerts, haven't you?
We have. We have one more middle school winter concert coming up this week at River Valley Middle School. So that'll be coming up this week. But we've already had high school winter concerts, and they were beautiful. They put in some religious music. They put in some seasonal music. But they also put in some really classical music. And it's fun to hear the talents of the arts at this time of year. People just love to come. It's been great. We've seen that at the high school, a little bit more coming up at middle school. But I encourage people in their communities, get out there. Go to those concerts. Go out to those venues. I think on the radio you talked this morning, I think Ithaca's is coming up maybe tonight or tomorrow.
Yes.
There you go. So, hey, if you're up in the Ithaca land, you should get out to your winter concert. You really should, because it's when you get to really feature the hard work of educators transferring that great knowledge of music, whether it's through the voice or through the instrument, into a child. And I think that's really important to be a part of. So head on out, get out to a winter concert and really enjoy what your schools have to offer.
Yeah, I think community support is important. You know, we think about it a lot with athletics, but yes, very important for the music concerts and all
absolutely
those things as well.
Absolutely. Get out there and support those kids. You're going to hear more about how our children are our future. Right. And I truly believe that as the population numbers go down, we want Wisconsin kids to stay in Wisconsin. We want our businesses and our local entities to still grow and flourish. And to do that, we have to have encouraging academic and wonderful school settings. So in order to do that, we need your support. And so get out there and celebrate with us during these wonderful concert seasons, but also believe that what we're doing in your rural schools is getting them ready to be a part of your community. And we're excited about that, but that we need your support.
Lauren, always a pleasure to have you in the studio.
Thank you, Phil. I love being here. Happy holidays to everybody. Merry Christmas. We're excited to be around this seasonal area. And again, let's just cross our fingers for a beautiful snowstorm at some point before the Christmas morning.
Well, after when you get out the 20th, you said?
Yes, sir.
So the 21st, 22nd, sure. 23rd, somewhere in there it can snow.
I think 5 p.m. on the 20th would be the perfect time for about a foot of snow. I love that.
Sounds good, Lauren. Thank you. We'll see you in 2025.
Then. Sounds great.
Lauren Glassbrenner, District Administrator for River Valley on today's morning show.
Technology and convenient hours to take good care of your vehicle. For the very best GM certified service, make an appointment soon by calling 647-3788, stopping by at Highway 14 East, or visit joneschev.com. Your friend